Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, United Airlines drops some short one-way award tickets to 5,000 miles. And wow, you bought a really cheap ticket to Europe, but wow, your airline has stopped flying. Wow, a Travel Guys prediction comes true much faster than we thought. Updates next in the travel news.
Our friend Sid Hanna, who heads up TSA at our airport, joins us with a special guest at 3:20 to make you a smarter spring break season traveler.
Gwen Duncan is here to talk about airline code shares. Sounds boring, I know, but this information could really help you someday. What if you booked on Delta Airlines, but your flight is on one of their partners? How would you know? Gwen joins us at 3:35.
Looking for something fun to do close to home? I have the latest version of what's going on around the region coming up at 3:50. Everything from concerts to theater to baseball make today's list.
What has been perhaps the nicest weekend weather-wise of the year is wrapping up, but we are just getting started. Thank you for joining us on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska, I go north. The rush is on.
All our bond and man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Well, indeed. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and in for Tom Romano today is Steve LaRosa. Steve, welcome to the chair.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be back on the show.
Thank you very much. We'll have Gwen Duncan. Sid Hanna from TSA is going to join us a little bit later on. So we have all kinds of exciting stuff on the show today. Steve has an update of what's going on around town and some pretty cool stuff, including a baseball game tomorrow night and a brand new play and some really cool things. What's up with you, Mr. LaRosa? Are you bebopping around town these days?
Let's see. Well, getting ready for a trip to the Southwest, which I'll be cluing you in on.
Uh-huh. Where are you going? Down to some Red Rock countries down there?
We're going to do Santa Fe, Taos, and Albuquerque.
Ah, okay. That's right. We talked about that before.
Yeah.
Excellent choices. We have a at Sports Leisure Vacations, we have a trip every year that goes to Santa Fe right around Memorial Day weekend, just after that weekend, kind of the kickoff of the tourism season. It's a good time to travel because travel hasn't completely ramped up for the summer yet. So folks who are smart, especially warm weather destinations, sometimes you can sneak in there late May, first part of June and get a little bit better rate. And sometimes there are fewer families with children. I love children as long as they're not in the exact same spot that I'm trying to be at that moment in time. So, big day for Sports Leisure Vacations yesterday. We had about 350 people at the KVIE studios over in off of Interstate 5 and for a spring preview day. Thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks also for all the donations that you brought of socks and underwear and stuff like that. Every time we do our spring event, Steve, we try to collect something for people in the community as opposed to charging an admission charge. So yesterday we had a huge pile of socks and underwear that Loaves and Fishes picked up before the day was over. So
that's awesome.
And thanks to our friends at KVIE who make that facility available to us. Good partners we have been for almost three decades now. So at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we first kick off with the travel news. Luis? All right, so I alluded to in the headlines here, trying to be a little bit cutesy about WOW Airlines. They do not fly from Sacramento, so it's not as likely that people in Northern California would have a ticket on this airline. But we mentioned last week that both Norwegian Air and WOW were having problems with investors and cash and appeared to be in significant trouble. And indeed, little did we know how and I advised folks to be very careful about buying tickets on those two carriers. And indeed, only a few days later, WOW ceased operations. So all the folks who are holding tickets They're virtually worthless. If you're a European resident, you probably will be able to get your ticket refunded. Otherwise, you can apply for a refund and hope for the best. What this really kind of sort of proves is that $99 airfares, I don't care how you do it and how much you add to it and what you charge people for afterwards, that might not be enough money to sustain, to have a sustainable business model.
What typically happens? Will somebody pick up the product or the routes or...
Well, maybe not in this case. We've had this kind of plethora of low fare across the ocean carriers, and that's not the reason for that is because the legacy airlines charge a lot of money to fly over the ponds, and they make a lot of money on those flights. So there's a lot of room for competition there. But these guys came in with a business model that one of the things that the legacy carriers have is this incredible feeder system that feeds all these people into their hub airports to connect to these flights. The guys like WOW and Iceland Air and Norwegian Air, and there was another one that went bust not too long ago, they don't have those feeder systems. Mm. So unless they partner with other low-fare carriers at their destinations, which some of them do, but it's still not as... And the other thing is, unless you if you took travel insurance... Some types of travel insurance will reimburse you for the fact that these people have gone out of business. But in other cases, it just, you know, you sometimes when the price, when it comes to travel, honest to God, I've been doing this for a long time. And when it comes to travel, if the price is too good to be true, most of the time, it's too good to be true. Every once in a while in travel, you can pick up a bargain. Southwest starts flying to Hawaii 2 weeks after they announce it. And so there's some fares for $49 for a little while to help fill up there for about an hour. Mm-hmm. Those lasted. And when they start flying from Sacramento, there'll probably be a similar type of situation that occurs. They'll need to fill the planes up right away. But then after that, the Southwest fares are settling in to be a little less expensive than the other carriers. However, there is one kicker there, and that is that Southwest allows you to check two suitcases at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
So now the other carriers are $30 a throw. So that's $60 each way. So that's $120. So cha-ching, their airfare is automatically $120 cheaper. And Southwest has an inch more of legroom between their seats, which, and if you don't think an inch is important, get on a plane and fly for 5 hours. And I can tell you that every inch matters.
I am with you 100% on that one.
And neither you or I are as a tall, you know, or particularly, you know, we would fit more into the category of vertically challenged than, and, but still, I found out something, Steve, the other day. I'm coming home from Tucson. I read something a lady wrote. She said, I'm a fairly diminutive person, and I hate flying on Southwest Airlines because I get into the seat, and inevitably, a large person sits next to me because large people look for small people to sit next to. Makes perfect sense. So... You know, same thing happened to me. I'm coming home on Southwest from Tucson to Las Vegas, and a very small lady, I'm sitting on the aisle, a very small lady gets in and sits on the window, and I'm like, we're doomed. We're doomed. And sure enough, five people later, a big old guy that's, you know, 300 pounds and 9 feet in every direction, and we're running out of seats on the aircraft, and he's like, yeah, I'll take that one because, you know, if I slide over a little bit, why I'm... So anyways.
Elbows over the arm.
Yeah, well, kind of. Boy. Yeah, it's interesting. All
Nothing
right. Speaking of Southwest here, we have some news. An update on the 737 MAX 8 situation. This just broke yesterday. Southwest has removed Boeing 737 MAX 8 from its flight schedule through the end of May. So there was some discussion that maybe this would only be a couple weeks and it would be fixed. And the planes, Southwest has about three dozen of these 737 MAX 8 planes. They have taken them off the schedule through the end of May. And this is really a proactive thing, Steve, because it's a lot of trouble 2 days ahead of time, 5 days ahead of time to be calling all your customers and sending them notices and saying your flight isn't going. And by that time, there maybe isn't seats available on the adjoining flights. And you got a lot of unhappy people and your people are working really hard. And the whole system is stressed. And so I think what Southwest has done here in being proactive, American flies a bunch of these planes. They've taken them off their schedule until the 24th of April. So I would say that we reasonably don't expect these extra 737s to be back in the sky in the immediate future. Also, this impacts Sacramento because Southwest going to Hawaii is probably not likely to occur until those planes are cleared to fly again.
You being the expert, what would you say to people regarding feeling safe on a 737 in the future?
On a regular 737 right now, I've probably flown them, you know, thousands of times in my life. You know, getting into an aluminum tube and being hurtled through the air at hundreds of miles an hour is, you know, the fact that it's even relatively safe is kind of amusing. Mm-hmm. But it's a workhorse airplane. I can think of, you know, I move a lot of people in motor coaches and buses, and so I can think of bus lines that are the workhorse models, you know, that have been around for years and years and years, are incredibly dependable, even though they might be older pieces of equipment. So, yeah, I don't have any hesitation here. I'm a little concerned that Boeing is doing some of their own airline inspecting and some things like that. But from what I've read over the last few days, I'm increasingly comfortable that the system has held up well here, and that they're going to fix this, and I wouldn't have any hesitation. Listen, we always tell people the most dangerous part of your trip is driving to the airport. And considering how heavy the traffic has gotten and how hard it is to get a parking place in Sacramento, I hope our TSA friends here show up in a few minutes so we can talk to them about, because literally our airport gal is going to be on with us in a couple of weeks, and we got to talk to them about parking.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Parking at the airport, if you haven't been out there lately, let me just tell you something. You think you're going to drive out there and park and walk into the terminal and be inside in 5 minutes? You may have another thing coming. No matter whether you use the garage or the extended lot or the daily lot, you're going to get out there and find they are a lot fuller than they were the last time that you flew. So one of the things we're always telling people, allow a few extra minutes at the airport. Allow a few extra minutes at the airport. If for no other reason then, you could get out there and where you normally park may not be available to you. So they're still resurfacing some of the extended lots out there. So just be, you might get there and find out, well, now I got to go around the terminal again and get repositioned so that I can get into this other lot or something like that. So it really behooves you. And getting out of the airport, my goodness, the other night, you know, the traffic just getting to the freeway, there wasn't a problem on the freeway, but just it's limited access in one lane. And our little airport has gotten a lot of new service. And at peak times, inbound or outbound, it's spilling over onto the freeway and causing some issues. I see they're even talking about some expansion at the airport, which a year ago would have been completely unheard of. All right. Anyways, Southwest has settled the situation with their mechanics. Apparently, they're giving them a raise. This has been going on for a number of years, a labor dispute. It's important because Southwest has those other planes out of the sky, and the mechanics have been writing everything up by the book and stuff like that, and that's been pulling other planes out of the sky on short notice. So this should help that situation a little bit. And finally, we have an airline passenger in Russia who decided that it would be better to board the flight naked. We all tease about this from time to time, that TSA searches us so much, it would be easier just to go naked or in your underwear to the airport. This gentleman said, quote, let's see, where is it? Where's his quote here? He shouted that he was naked because clothing impairs the aerodynamics of the body. He flies with more agility when he is undressed. He was taken away. This was in the Moscow airport. He was taken away by authorities. And there's a picture at travelguysradio.com. Don't worry, you can't see the private parts. Anyways, flying naked didn't work out real well for him.
I certainly hope he spread Saran wrap across the bottom of the seat.
I see our TSA friends waiting outside. Let's get to a break here so we can talk to them. We've got Steve with What's Going On and Gwen Duncan to talk about code shares. Busy day on the Travel Guys. We'll be right back.
Far, we've been traveling far.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Sorry about that here. We were just welcoming our guests into the studio. Steve LaRose is in for Tom Romano today.
Great to be back.
Thomas is down in San Antonio enjoying some family time. Joining us now, Sid Thrift from TSA. Sid, I forgot your title here. Pull your microphone up a little closer to you there. There you go.
How you doing?
Good.
So,
what's your official title?
Federal Security Director,
and that's for like the Northern California?
Well, pretty much Sacramento all the way up towards Redding, Chico, Eureka, Arcata, Crescent City, all the way to the border of Oregon.
Ah, okay. That's some long road trips. Or do you fly up there when you have to go up to Eureka?
7-hour drive. Yeah. You get to go to Crescent City.
Yeah, well, and with the fog and stuff up there, flying up there can be, you know, kind of catch-as-catch-can, too. We used to have flights from Sacramento, but Not it. Well, the microphone is not cooperating there. Hang on, Steve's going to come over and give you a little help there. Sid, we were going to talk about today about just spring break and the types of travelers that travel at spring break. And when we were in our break here, you mentioned to me that you're seeing more pushback from people, that people are literally physically getting more cranky at the airport. Let's talk a little bit about that.
It's a little bit more focused on, you know, this is a lot of them are first time travelers with the increase of flights, especially spring break. You know, when school's out, events, big events like that, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Tends to bring out people who don't fly frequently.
Understand. And then sometimes it's a year or two before they've been to the airport, so the policies have changed. So they get a little bit frustrated trying to understand what they need to do. And sometimes I just ask people to slow down a little bit, give mm-hmm. themselves some time, understand that things will change. A good example is if you flew out last spring break and you come in this year, we're going to have passenger screening dogs now in front of the checkpoints as you go through. Those dogs are doing a process in the screening. You know, they're doing a whole different screening in it. And if you're not used to that, you're going to say, why is there a dog sniffing me as I walk by? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you get a little bit, you know, why are they asking me extra questions? What is it your business? So we're starting to see a little bit a little rise in people, you know, just.
And the dogs are there for explosives and things of that sort?
Yeah. So they're called passenger screening canines, mm-hmm. and they're doing a layer in the security for us. Okay. So as you come through, they're just doing a quick sniff of the air around. It's just seeing if there's any elements or any traces of explosives. Around.
Something that would cause you guys to be on the.
So it's just a layer. Yeah. So we tell people everything is there to be an extra layer in the process.
Well, for most of us, dare I say, for virtually all of us, we just want to get through there because we're not carrying anything bad. We're not. All we're trying to do, you know, our worst crime is. I always feel horrible because a couple of times a year, because I'm a pre-check guy, and you know they have to pull my bag, and it's like, oh man, I left a bottle of water in there, exactly. and I'm supposed to. If you're in the pre-check line, you're supposed to be smarter than that, It bugs me when I forget, but you see folks frequently, and a lot of this is people who didn't allow themselves enough time. You know, we were just talking about this. They get to the airport. It took them 15 extra minutes to park. They got two kids in tow or something like that. The flight's about to leave, and now they're really in a hurry and a rush, and something happens to delay them for 15 or 20 seconds, and it becomes a huge issue.
And they get frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
exactly.
So when someone says, hey, I have to pat you down, and you're saying, hey, it's nothing, just let them go through the process. It'll probably be a lot faster than sitting there and arguing with the person for 5 minutes and then causing a delay in the whole process.
So. Well, yeah. And in Sacramento, at least in both terminals, there's a desk there once you've completed the inspection and generally there are officers there. I've only had one or two occasions to walk up and ask them something. But it seems as though, yes, that you could walk up if you had something that hadn't gone the way you thought it had at that point, you're done with the inspection. You could walk up and ask a question or inquire or say, I want to make a complaint or whatever, but at least you're through the system now.
Correct. And you're not holding up the line. That's the biggest struggle for us is when we're busy mm-hmm. and we're trying to move and we're looking for everyone to participate in the process and do their part. Sitting there and arguing is not going to help yourself. It's not going to help everyone else that's waiting. So yeah, you're right. Go to the side, go talk to the supervisor in one of those podiums at the end of the checkpoints and give them your frustration or ask for a complaint letter or card.
Sid, with you today is Bo Thompson. Bo, Assistant Federal Security Director of Inspection. So you're the front line kind of people.
So our department, basically what we do is we process administrative cases for people that bring prohibited items to the checkpoint. Primarily, a lot of times it's firearms. We still, believe it or not, get a lot of firearms that come through the checkpoint. And then we have to basically send them a letter and let them know that they committed.
Your life gets a lot more complicated. The simplicity of it is your life gets a lot more complicated, right? If you bring a firearm through its inspection checkpoint and if it happens to be loaded, then your life has gotten even more complicated.
That's correct. And most of the time, the response we get is, I forgot. So believe it or not. But we have seen an uptick in the number of firearms coming through the checkpoint.
Sid, what do we tell folks? And Bo, what do we tell folks that, I mean, you know, we can say we'll just, you know, mellow out and stuff like that. What is different? Like, for example, I'm pre-checked, so my rules are a little bit different than most of the rest of the folks who are going through the regular inspection line. I know that food and electronics and stuff, or how? And we were talking about here the new 3D machines that are showing up all over the country, about 300 of them at different TSA locations. Are those coming to Sacramento?
So Sacramento will probably end up having two of them by June, end of June, early July. So we have a brand new lane in Terminal A. So if you fly out of Terminal A, that's usually United, American Airlines, Delta. They're going to be the first to get one of the machines. So one of the seventh lanes is going to be the new CT equipment. And then in Terminal B, right after that, we'll end up having one there too.
So how does this change the process?
Well, first of all, when these machines come in, they'll probably be the first machine that we open in the day and the last machine we turn off. So you'll see them a lot more. And that's just to get us preparing.
They just give you better pictures of everything?
Definitely. They're a CAT scan machine. So it's similar to what we have right now in the baggage system. The machine could almost get to a point where it auto-generates and looks for threats on its own. So instead of a 2D or a 3D picture of an item, and then we have to figure out what it is, and then say, hey, we want to search that bag, now the machine will be able to stop, look at the item, and then we're able to turn the item on the actual machine, cut it, slice it, look at it, see if we want it further or not.
So, Bo, in many cases, this will eliminate a physical inspection of a bag, yes?
It should decrease the amount of false items that we're seeing. It'll give us a better picture.
Okay.
Overall.
Some of those where, gosh, it looks like this is okay, but we're not really sure, so we need to pull it out.
Correct.
And in those situations, you now may have more visibility and be able to determine for sure that this is something we don't need to look at, or for sure that this is something that we need to look at.
So this might be the future, and I say this might be the future where we get back to going back to our normal liquids and carrying our normal stuff like we did before.
Because
this has the technology to add on to saying, hey, a water is a water. It's not a peroxide.
So in this case, an extra little extra uptick in inspection may actually be good news.
And it might be even faster because our officers are not looking through bags as often.
Yeah.
So they're focusing on the real bags and not just saying, hey, I can't figure out if it's in the gray area, I'm just going to screen it. Now they can actually officially say it is an item of concern and less bags to search.
Sid, we're down to a minute here. Anything that you would like to share with our listening audience that we haven't talked about?
This is a great time for Sacramento Airport. I really mean it. There's a lot of changes. We're adding two additional lanes in Terminal A, so that's speeding things up there. The airport just redesigned the whole exit in Terminal A, so when you come through and you're exiting the airport now, you're going to see an automated exit system. So it's
similar to the one in Terminal B.
Terminal B, so it's really nice. Two lounges are coming in probably by the end of May, early June. So now you have an option to pay for a lounge or relax, have a glass of wine, enjoy the Wi-Fi.
We're going to ask the airport director. She's supposed to be on with us in a couple of weeks.
Perfect.
So she'll share
with all that. But we're excited. It's going to be a busy summer. We're expecting to be busier than last year.
Guys, as always, anytime you have something important, please let us know. We're always happy to have you on. After the break, Gwen Duncan is going to join us to talk a little bit about code sharing and what that means to you as a traveler. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Steve LaRosa. People around town are saying, Steve LaRosa, where do I know that name from? Where do I...
Held up a string of liquor stores and 7-Elevens in the mid-70s. It was in all the news.
You've been playing in the news media in town for a long time.
Despite the public outcry, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You were on television for a while?
15 years.
Yeah.
KCRA, Channel 3.
Mm-hmm. And from all of what I heard at that point in time, and making no judgment about what it is now, but that was a pretty good place to work. It was a pretty good team to be a part of.
It was, we talked about this a lot. It was the golden age, man. At Channel 3 in those days, it was very entrepreneurial, a lot of freedom, great budgets to travel. We went around the world.
Yeah.
The whole show around the world.
Wow. Yeah, you guys had a really locally produced stuff, and that's kind of, you know, locally produced things now have become pretty much non-existent.
You're looking at a dinosaur over here,
yeah.
Mark.
That wasn't my point. My point was to point out to our listeners, particularly those who are saying, wow, I've heard that name someplace before, and they're trying to think whether it was the post office or the laundry room. And
could have been both.
The point is, it could have been both. Joining us on the line is Gwen Duncan. Hi, Gwen.
Well, hello there, guys.
Gwen is from Cordially Yours Travel. If you are looking for a good travel advisor, give Gwen and her team a call. She, like the gentleman who was here just a few minutes ago, Sid from the TSA, and Bo Thompson, who was with him, they, you are a person who gives a lot of your time to making us smarter travelers and the like. And we were going to talk a little bit today about code share. Steve, do you know what a code share is?
No idea.
Okay. So a code share is you go into the airport, and let's pretend that you're flying with Delta Airlines. And you go into the Sacramento airport, and there's your Delta flight on the board. And while you're standing there looking at the departure board, the Delta logo flips and goes away. And now the Emirates logo comes up and with a different flight number.
Mm-hmm.
And then that logo goes away in a different one. There may be five or six of them come up. Or you'll go into some airports and you'll say, my goodness, there are six planes leaving exactly the same time, going to the exact same place that I am. All these different airlines are flying at the... And it's all actually one flight.
Oh.
These are people who are in an alliance or a partnership or some type of reciprocal agreement that allows them to reciprocate with each other's customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to share revenues and things of that sort. So it's not uncommon for you to book on Delta Airlines, and especially on an international trip, to get to an international airport and find out that your next flight is on a partner of Delta Airlines.
Mm.
How did I do with that, Gwen? Was that
you
a pretty
really,
good?
You did really well. Sometimes it starts off, your ticket says Delta, or let's say your ticket says United. And you get to San Francisco, and you look on your ticket again, or on your boarding pass, and it says operated by Lufthansa.
Mm-hmm. So, and those are the key words, operated by. And domestically, you'll see that when you're on a feeder carrier, like a SkyWest.
Exactly.
An American Eagle, or something. It'll say operated by Compass Airlines for United Airlines.
Right. Now, the reason for that, number one, was convenience for domestic travel. And it's called hub and spoke. And that's where the bigger airline, or the legacy airline, flies into, like, let's say, Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a small offshoot, a regional airline, that'll take them from Denver to, like, Grand Rapids or something. You know, so it allows them to sell a ticket and make money and help the regional, but to get you to more destinations using the legend.
But what happens, Gwen, if I buy, let's say I'm going to Venice.
Yes.
And I buy a ticket on United Airlines.
Yes.
And I fly from here to Washington Dulles Airport, and I get on a United airplane and I fly to Frankfurt. And I get to Frankfurt and I'm looking for United flight 9221. And I can't find it. There is no flight, but Lufthansa has a flight to Munich at the same time. And that seems to, oh, wait a minute. I see here it says operated by Lufthansa. That must be my flight.
That's right. That's right. And there's some advantages and disadvantages to this.
Okay.
The advantages, obviously, is that it's seamless. You go and you buy your ticket and it takes you all the way to the destination. And it could be on various airlines, not just the one that you ticketed by.
Mm-hmm.
It could be on a regional, and then it could be on a larger one. You know, like the Lufthansa, then it might go to a United flight, vice versa, and then it might just go to one of the other smaller airplane, you know, airlines in Europe to get you into some of these, you know.
So advantage to the consumer is that there are more fairly seamless options.
That's right. You have to be really careful because.
Here comes the disadvantages.
These are the disadvantages. The biggest disadvantage is that if you're in a code share flight, and let's say you're on a Lufthansa code share, and it says it's operated by United. Well, it's what your paper says on what metal you're absolutely flying on. But if it was ticketed under Lufthansa and you don't have a frequent flyer under Lufthansa, you're not going to earn your miles unless you join the Lufthansa mileage program. Now, if you ticketed under United instead, you would get that plus any other little subsequent airlines that are in on the ticket.
So let me make sure I understand here. If my ticket has flights on other carriers that don't perhaps contain a flight number for we're using the example of United right now,
yeah,
then I'm not going to get credit for mileage on those legs.
On those flights, yeah. So it would have to say, like United, your ticket would have to say it's ticketed and operated by United.
Okay,
for
so
your
this,
first trip, for your you know, your outgoing, and all the connections, you would get mileage if you're a United mileage member.
Okay, let's see if we can boil this down a little bit, because my guess is that by now this is about as clear as mud to people who are listening on the phone. If you buy an airline ticket,
yes,
and you're looking at it and it says operated by on a couple of the flights,
right.
So that's not unusual.
No,
it can happen domestically.
Right.
It can happen internationally.
But
it also means that those carriers may have some different rules and regulations than the carrier you bought your ticket on, and it's those carriers' rules and regulations you will have to abide by when you are on those flights, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, but the most confusing part, you think that's confusing, the most confusing part for people is where do they check in when they get to the airport? Their airline, I mean, their ticket says United, operated by Lufthansa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're supposed to check in at the airline that you are, that is operating the airline, I mean, operating the itinerary. So you wouldn't be checking in at United, you'd be checking in at Lufthansa.
Wow.
So that's where it gets kind of confusing.
Well, what this, Gwen, what this really is a great commercial for, if you're not a super experienced traveler, and even if you are, for having a good travel advisor. And it's also, it puts the onus on the travel advisor, the folks in your position, to make sure that your client knows that, hey, this is, you know, you need to be aware of this. And this is going to complicate your trip a little bit. This
That's
may be
right.
the best itinerary, but here's some things that you need to know along the way.
That's right. Now, by law, agents and the airlines have to identify if it's a operated by ticket, you know, that is a codeshare ticket.
Right.
And you have to let the people know before they purchase the ticket.
Is this a good thing for consumers or not?
Oh, I think it's really good for you to have a lot more options to get without having to have 10 and 12 hour layovers at a connection or something. But the bad thing is, if it's a codeshare flight, there are generally no upgrades like you would if it was the operating airline, if
uh-huh.
it was a codeshare airline, and also the earning of miles. That's kind of, but more importantly, when you see that there's a codeshare, even when you're doing your homework and you're looking, you say, oh, there's a United that flies that same flight, and then you look down, and then there's a Lufthansa one down there that's like $60 more. It's the exact same flight. You can get the exact same seat, the exact same flight, and it could cost you $50, $60.
Now, more. This is what many of the miles guys and the hacker experts and stuff like this will tell people online. So this may be a good takeaway here in the minute or so that we have left. If you are thinking of flying to Munich and you are a United person,
yes.
So they're members of the Star Alliance.
Yes.
So you might go online at United and see that your round trip to Munich is $1,700. But you might go online to Lufthansa
and find
that their round trip on the very same flights are $1,600.
That's right, or lower.
Or you might go to another carrier that's another partner in their alliance who isn't even flying any of those flights for you, but sells tickets on other airlines in their alliance, and their fare may be different also.
Yeah, so there's a lot of the best rule of thumb is when you're going to go and check in, you know how you call in and you check in?
Mm-hmm.
I call in and check in. You want to ask, where do I check in? I've had different airlines have done some weird things, and do we have time for me to tell a story or not?
Yeah, another minute.
Okay, I had one person who was flying a Delta flight out of L.A. going to Asia. Well, it said Delta, but it was operated by Cathay Pacific or something. I can't remember. Anyway, so she goes, we called, and they said, check in at the Delta. Check in.
Uh-huh.
So that's what she does. She goes there, and they said, oh, no, you have to check in at the Cathay or China Tours or whatever. So she goes running over to do that, and while she does it, she drops her passport, loses it, and ends up having to spend lost time. But that just caused the problem, not being very comfortable and being confused on where to check in. That whole incident wouldn't have happened if it had gone right.
Moral
to this, Delta told us, go check in at the Delta, and whoever told us that was wrong.
Okay, so moral of the story here is that pay attention when you buy an airline itinerary. It's sent to your email or you print out a copy.
Yes.
Look carefully at each flight.
Yes.
If you see one or more that says operated by, that's a little bit of a red flag. If you have a travel counselor, you should be asking them questions to get answers like we're just kind of giving you here. Otherwise, call back the airline that you ticketed with and ask them to explain it to you.
I'm going to give you a quick tip.
Okay.
If the flight number is 4,000 or higher, sometimes it's 4,000 or higher, it's definitely a code share.
Okay. So
if
that's,
it's less than that, it's more probably the Allegiant Airline.
That's with the legacy carriers. Gwen Duncan,
yes.
Cordially yours, Travel. Thank you much for your time today. We'll talk to you again soon. Gwen, we're going to be back. Steve LaRosa is going to take us around town with what's going on next on the Travel Guys.
All the leaves are brown.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Last lap here on Sunday afternoon. Mark Kaufman, Steve LaRosa in for Tom Romano. And everything that we talk about on the show, you can find at TravelGuysRadio.com. All one word crammed together there, TravelGuysRadio.com. You can find a story about Indian Airlines serving this airline, sometimes serves old, unrefrigerated food. Oh, my goodness. Word on the United Airlines Awards that start out at 5,000 miles now. We mentioned that in the headlines. Some information on how to get a real ID. And also, if you happen to have one of those WOW air tickets, how to get a refund, some possible ways to maybe get back to Europe, and then a whole bunch of links to what's about to come up right now. So why don't we find out what's going on? So, Mr. Marvin Gaye asked the question. Steve, you are here to provide the answers. What's going on?
I am. We got a lot of stuff cooking this week.
This is a pretty cool list, I think.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff coming up, starting with, here in Sacramento, musician Graham Parker is coming through on Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. He's going to be at the Sophia at 2700 Capitol Avenue in Sacramento. Tickets at sblentertainment.com and...
Uh-huh. At TravelGuysRadio.com. All of these at TravelGuysRadio.com.
Exactly. Now we are off to Union City, California.
Union City, Oakland suburb. Is that Oakland suburb?
It's
San Francisco suburb?
It's down by, I looked it up on a map.
Yeah.
It's down South Bay, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
It's the Northern California Ukulele Festival, Mark, one of your favorites. That's going to be Sunday, April 28th, 2019, this year. James Logan High School Center for the Performing Arts in Union City, and it's going to be 1800 H Street in Union City. Tickets at NorCalUkuleleFestival.org.
Okay.
Now we are off to West Sac. And by the way, she probably mentioned we never know what the sound effects are going to be. It's Luisa's grab bag. It's always a surprise how we're getting from one location to the next. So our next stop is the Rivercats scrimmage with the San Jose Giants. That's going to be Monday, April 1st, which would be...
tomorrow.
Bingo. There you go.
Hey, and this is the Giants AAA team against the Giants single A team. So it's a bunch of minor leaguers. A lot of these guys are going to play for the Rivercats now. Some of them might play for the Rivercats later. And plus, this is pretty good. Tickets starting at $5.
Yeah. You can upgrade, I think, to $10, which includes food.
Yeah.
So, yeah, $5, can't beat it with a stick. That's going to be 6 p.m. tomorrow, Raley Field, Sacramento. And now we are off to Petaluma.
It's going to take you a while to get there.
Yeah, we're going to take the long route. Good thing this has happened on April 13th. It's Corduroy. Corduroy, Mark, uh-huh, is a Pearl Jam tribute band, and they are performing with Alice in the Garden. Ask me about Alice in the Garden.
Yes, I will, because I don't know who Alice in the Garden is.
Well,
I mean, I used to know an Alice who had a garden, but that's probably not the reference here.
When you go to see Alice in the Garden, you got a twofer, because they're doing a tribute to Alice in Chains,
mm-hmm,
and Soundgarden.
Okay.
All three of these bands grunge sort of bands out of Seattle.
Pacific Northwest type stuff,
yep.
Yeah.
And this is going to be at the Mystic Theater in Petaluma, and that's going to be Saturday, April 13th at 8:30 p.m.
TravelGuysRadio.com is links to all of this stuff on Steve's list.
We are now off to winners. I think this,
Luis has lost his mind.
I think this is the last known flight of WOW Airlines.
From Sacramento to Winters. I didn't know Winters had an airport. Did they just clear the main drag there and the planes land right there?
You have enough time to say, wow, and you can't even finish saying, that was a short flight. That's right. We're going to see Blues Hall of Fame inductee Joe Louis Walker.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be Friday, April 12th, 8 p.m. at the Palms in Winter. And, of course, that's 13 Main Street.
I've never been to the Palms before. Do you know that place?
Yeah, I've been there. It's a great little small auditorium. I used to go to the Palms when it was in Davis, when it was an old barn. And they'd get big-name acts that happen to be playing San Francisco, and they'd say, hey, I can pick up an extra gig, zip up to Sacramento.
If you like the blues, this guy, Joe Louis Walker, I was not familiar with him, so I Googled him here before the show started, and he's like a four-time Blues Music Award winner. He's been singing the blues for over half a century. So I'm guessing probably if you're a blues music fan, you probably know of this gentleman. Anyway, he's going to be in Winters Friday, April the 12th. At 8 o'clock.
And I might add, I've been singing the blues for a couple of weeks now, myself.
I'm out in the corner and hope for spare change?
Or? I'm hoping for a nomination.
Yeah, okay. All right. What else have you got for us?
We're heading back to Sacramento. Okay, Luis. That one's on you. I got Mark, you want to take that one?
We're gonna have Luis drug tested after the show today.
Turkey back. We're going turkey back.
Uh-huh.
It's When We Were Colored, A Mother's Story. Now, this, Mark, is a world premiere of a play written by Sacramento playwright Ginger Rutland.
Okay.
It's based on a memoir by Ginger's mother, Eva Rutland, or maybe it's Ava. I really don't know there. This play tells the story of one family's experience with integration in post-World War II Sacramento.
Wow. That sounds like it has the potential to be a pretty interesting topic.
Yeah, it's the whole family moved from the segregated South to Sacramento, and they were the first, as it says on the website, they were the first black household on the block and the only black kids at school and mm-hmm. other experiences like that. So it should be a fairly rather interesting.
I went to Bariloma High School in the 70s, suburban, mm-hmm. white, middle class. We yeah. had plenty of Asian kids. We had plenty of Hispanic kids, but we had very few African-American kids. Yeah. Now, Bariloma is a kaleidoscope of the world because of the type of program they have there. But and I can remember thinking what it must have felt like to be that one kid. You know, what would it feel like to be? Obviously, I had no idea. Mm. But what would it feel like to be that one kid? So this is kind of a local story. This sounds like it might be, I mean, it's heavy. It's real theater, it sounds like. But it sounds like it might be really entertaining.
Yeah, and the shows are Wednesday through Sunday at various times continuing through April 28th. And if you go on SAC Theatre, spelling THEATRE instead of ER, sactheater.org. Uh-huh. You can see what are the times and dates of the various shows throughout the week.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Sacramento Theater Company, 1419 8th Street.
So it's down in the Music Circus Complex. There's a link at travelguysradio.com. It's a long list there today, but all the way down at the bottom, you'll see When We Were Colored, a world premiere play written by a Sacramento. And Steve, thank you. That's a really awesome list of stuff to do. It's good that you've gotten to the end of the list because it's Luis is waving at us, which means you've got about 30 seconds before this is all over.
Do
for
we have
week.
Any sound effects? Have sound effects for saying goodbye to this segment?
Thanks again to all the folks who came out to KVIE yesterday for the Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day. If you are a traveler who didn't make it, you will be getting a newsletter with all the updated new trips in a couple of weeks. Steve, thank you for coming and filling in for Tom today.
My pleasure.
Appreciate that and your contributions to the program. Thanks to Sid and Gwen. We'll be back next Sunday. Tom will be here. You have a good week. Dance like nobody's watching.